Welcome, metaphysical friends. You're listening to Growing Up Indigo with Adina Banik on BBS Radio Station 1. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. So today I'm going to be doing angel readings, but I'm only going to be doing them live. So if you do want a reading, just call us at 888-627-6008. I'll just say that again. It's 888-627-6008. And you're going to get Don, our CEO and producer, and he will just take care of you. He's really sweet. So this week I was thinking about something, and I was like concentrating on it so much. I actually started writing a short story about it, and I was writing a poem about it, and I was, because I was just so motivated by it. And then I just started to think about how suited I am for what I do. And then I thought about how every once in a while, well, sometimes it's more than that, I'll think, I should have done this. I wish I had done this as a career. And then all I have to do is think about, what do I think about 85% of my life and all of my life? It's always been metaphysics. And then I have to think how grateful and how humbling that is that I really grew up to not only, you know, do this, but have the ability to do so many different things in the only thing I ever thought about. So that's pretty cool. So this is what I was thinking about, that it just seems strange to me that at the time we're at in history, that the divide between creation and evolution is probably just about hitting, I don't know if I'd say critical mass, but it's not melting away like the ice caps or anything. Wait, is it the ice caps that are melting? I don't know. I don't really know. Because 3 years ago, I was talking to my son, and I said, he was talking about Antarctica or something like that, and I said, isn't that in Alaska? And he said, no, Mom. And I thought, well, something like, isn't Santa Claus in Antarctica? Not that I, and he said, Mom, you don't think Santa's real, do you? And I said, no, I don't. But isn't that where he was supposed to be? So he had to go into an entire project about where that was. But anyway, let me get off this. So anyway, I'm not talking about a religious thing about creation. I meant about religion in terms of spirituality. So I thought that we would be further along now, but we're not. And what I mean by that is, we think that we've been thinking scientifically much, much longer than we have, but we really haven't, because the last several hundreds of years we've been thinking scientifically. As far as I know, I think it's been the Renaissance that we started thinking along that way, but we were still leeching then, and as a matter of fact, excuse me, we were performing frontal lobotomies up until the mid-60s. So, I mean, really, I'm still digressing, I know. Okay, so let me get back on course here. And while we have evolved, I still don't think that that had anything to do with the genesis of who we really are. What I'm talking about is this. Scientifically, we have been making great strides, but they have had us believing that we've had the answers to everything scientifically. And we've been feeling as a people that we've been thinking scientifically for so many, many, many generations that thinking about creation is silly. Now, again, I have to preface this by saying, please don't think I'm making fun of religion. I'm not at all. I personally don't have any religion. I've always been spiritual ever since I can remember. I wasn't given a religion at all. In fact, I'm not even going to that because my mom was a little strange about things like that. But she kind of told stories about what we were, and I didn't find out until she died what we really were. But I was given the freedom in a lot of ways to be who I was, which was always just me, and that was I really had an innate sense of who we were. So what I'm saying is that it's the opposite, that we, from the beginning of whatever you want to call time is, we were spiritual. And that went on for so much longer. So where could that have come from? It had to have come from something. I don't think it came from fear. It wasn't as if they portray us sometimes as we were so fearful. They portray people who were Neanderthals as cowering and huddering and hiding. And, you know, that's not the way I think it was. So I'm going to tell you kind of what I've been thinking. I think that there was a Big Bang just exactly the way that they thought it was. Excuse me, but it wasn't the way that they think it was, just some Big Bang. Actually, I don't know what they think it was because I'm not scientific, but I think there was once something that was everything. It was in the universe. I don't know if the universe was the universe yet, but it was always there. And it was this loving, beautiful energy of intelligence, and it was always creating itself and growing. And it was this glowing light of love. And how do I know it was love? I don't. I just know. And it was filling every known space. So it's just, there was just nothing but it filling it. And it had no idea what it was. It just was. And as it evolved, it started to become aware of itself, just like anything else would, I guess. You're a baby, you don't know you're a baby, and then all of a sudden, you start to become aware of you. Then you become aware of the other, and it became aware of it. And it only knew joy because that's all it had to know. It didn't need anything else to exist. So if you don't need anything to exist, what else do you know but joy? It didn't eat. It didn't want anything. It didn't want a car. It didn't want a hamburger. It didn't want love because it was love. It only knew joy. So it grew and it grew and it had more love and it grew more energy. As it grew more energy. That makes sense, right? So as it became more aware, it expanded and expanded, and I think then it contracted. I don't know. Does that happen first or second? I don't know. Okay, so it did one of those things, right? Then it imploded. So that's the Big Bang thing. And I don't think it did because of physics, but I'm sure it did. So that's where scientifically I totally get it. But I think it really happened because it was so much of itself that it couldn't be contained. So it split into like billions of pieces of itself, and it was all connected to itself, And it joyfully kind of created worlds all over again, and that's us, kind of. And then it kept doing it again and again into eternity, and it is still doing it. So this is where I think reincarnation comes from, because we're still doing the original thing. And yes, we're already back with it somewhere in time. Does that make sense? There are also alternate realities where we're living out our it right now. And I think that it was totally, it from the beginning, we've always been so much more connected to what that is than we are now. Why? Because, again, over several hundreds of years, we have gone steadily further and further away from our core connection to that whole, because we needed to. We needed to for a while, because it started to become very toxic. What happened was church and state and all that kind of stuff, and it became pretty bad for a while, and we needed to get a little objectivity in, but then that became toxic, and we completely cut off our roots. So it all connected back, and a lot of people say that it happened because, and I'm talking about people who are very metaphysical, and they feel that, and this is just nitpicking on my part, that it needed to experience itself feeling contrast in order to know itself as joy by not experiencing joy. And that's, of course, where everyone says you need to know dark to experience light, and its opposites to know the opposite. And I don't know why I can't grasp that. And I think the only reason I can't is because I don't believe that whatever that was ever needed anything for it to be able to experience joy. How could it? I mean, if you're the living creator of all there is, you don't need to experience misery. Why? You don't even know what it is. So, and would you also create misery for the part of you that's splitting off? No, I don't think so. I really don't. So I think it really was a matter of implosion and creating with joy. I don't really think that it was opposite. And I think we say that because I think that's fear. And I think that's why we say that, because we have become so separate from what our origin was. So I think that science has just gone a little too smug. And I think that far from proving, I think scientists did say, and we will prove that, and here we go, I'm just a long list of things that they were going to prove. I think they did prove a lot of things, but I think more than anything, they were kind of proved wrong. Again, not talking religion at all. In fact, while I'm not going to say I'm against religion, because I think that whatever you can do to hopefully bring you to a place of peace and understanding and compassion is wonderful. But personally, I can't even really get that, because I can't believe that human beings really think there are 25 different religions, but okay. So I think that physicists are now really finding that what mystics have said is really true. There isn't anything really called time. Time is just something that we are focused in now. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. And there really is nothing, by the way, holding anything down. I know we think it's gravity, and I know you're thinking, okay, this is where I lose you. But I promise you, if you go check and you type that into your browser, you will see that, yes, there's gravity, but that things are really floating in space right now. But that's our perception, and it's our also, it's kind of like one mass hallucination. We really are floating particles. So it's really true that it's our perception of density, and it really is our density where we are that we see things as fixed. Medical professionals are admitting more and more every day that they don't really know what will make someone pull out of something while another one doesn't, that they do see positive results with prayer. They do see people over and over and over again who have died, who do come back and do report on things that happened while they were dead. And they say, I heard you do this, I saw you do this, and I personally can attest to that. So I do know that. And so what I'm saying is that, I don't know, did I have a point to all of this? I don't really know. That's what I was thinking about the entire week. And the reason I think I was thinking about it was because I wanted to talk today about angel readings, how they differ a little bit, but mostly because I wanted to talk about the different levels of readings, not higher or better at all, just the point of vibration, where I go when I do them, and I just want to be able to see if I could take you there or how you can access it. I'm not going to do a meditation today. I did that about a year and a half ago, and I will do that again with you. But I want to describe it a little for you, I'm sorry. But before I do, I want to talk about why I wanted to do live readings. And today it was because I've been getting so many email requests, and I'm glad you're sending them in, but they are becoming more and more less the way I can really answer them. I think you're doing it on purpose. No, you're not. I know that. But the more I ask for you to kind of give them to me specifically, the more I get them like this. Will he or she be my soulmate or things like that? And I really can't do that. I mean, I could, but I don't have that kind of time. So that's why I'm only going to do them today live. If you do want one, you can call 888-627-6008. Not to worry, I did get an email this week, that was so heartrending and very, very in detail that I decided I don't care if I take up an entire half hour, I'm going to do that reading. So I want to talk a little about what the difference is. In a psychic reading, I can access anybody and anything. So I will be able to access you, someone in your life, someone you work with, your family, situation that's going on in your life. I will also be able to, as I'm sitting here and talking to you, I will get someone who's passed on. And the reason that will happen is because You bring them to me. It's not as if I'm going in there to get them. I will do that. I go in there to get someone you've asked me about. And the reason I can do that is because it's for your highest growth and good. I do want to tell you that there's a kind of built-in privacy. You wouldn't like that if I were to go. If somebody called me and said, Dina, I want you to go look at so-and-so and tell me what he's doing. Well, how would you like that? You wouldn't. So what I access, oh, and by the way, this is really important. I want you to know why psychics, I think, I mean, this is why I do it. Psychics don't just get everything and charge you by whatever random rate they choose. When I do a reading, I ask a question at a time. The reason for that is privacy. That's the reason. So it's not as if I look at something and I get every single thing about them. That does not happen. So when I do a reading, I ask a question, and it has built-in privacy for you too, because you really don't need to know what you think you want to know. You don't. So I get an answer, I interpret it, I give it to you. And that's for both of you. If I want to ask another question, I ask it and I get another answer and I interpret it and I give it to you. So that's why prices really are different in terms of an email reading. When I do a private reading, I don't do it by the question, of course. I do it by block of time and we just talk. So that's why most psychics do this. Now, if I'm in a mediumship reading, yes, I'm going to get that person and they are going to just show me everything. And that's completely different. I have their permission, obviously, because they're showing it to me. They're talking to me. And they are doing that with love. And it's just so beautiful. So, oh my God, I lost my train of thought because I got caught up in the medium thing. And it's so beautiful. And it's just so honoring and blessing and beautiful. Where was I? Okay, so in a psychic reading, I can do all of those things. I will also, and this is so odd, I can be in the middle of a psychic reading. This is really weird. And I will get, this is in the middle of a psychic reading, I will have someone who passes over come in, and you'll be asking about someone in your life, and I will have that person's parents come in. Now, that's odd, and that's unusual, and that does happen. And that'll happen because you want clarification that I cannot get from that person themselves. For whatever reason it is, either that soul is not allowing me to, which is, of course, the right thing. In other words, they are blocking us because they don't want us to know. But for some reason, their guide or their parent will say, yes, 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 I want you to know because that person needs your help. They have shut everyone off. So that parent will come through and tell us something, not everything by any means, but they will give us one specific incident in that person's life that will open up something so important for you that you will now understand why that person is the way they are in that one area. Does that make sense? It's just fascinating. So in a psychic reading, what I can do is go across, and it's across because they're on our level. And that's how I can do that. It's like skimming water, throwing a rock across the water as it skims lightly. When I do a Reiki reading, and this is also, it has just developed over the years that it's now highly medically intuitive. What I do is, I don't do anything. I learned this when I became attuned to my master Reiki level. In order to become a level 3, I had to do a remote reading. And my teacher gave me a name of someone that she knew. She didn't know anything about what was going on with this person medically at all. And she said I was to go into my room and do a remote healing on someone, and I had to diagnose, essentially, but not really diagnose, but I had to find what was wrong and heal her. So I did. I was terrified, and all I did was say, Reiki masters, please, please help me. And I was so afraid I wasn't going to be able to do my level 3. And I asked them, and they just did it. They just told me what to do. They told me where to go. They told me what was wrong. And I was shaking, and I had written it down, and I came out. And she went into another room. She called her. She came back, and she said, every single thing you did was correct. And I couldn't believe it. So I never changed it. And they give me medical terms. They tell me words I don't know. And when I do that, I feel like I'm going underground, really down and underground. And it's fascinating and amazing. And I'm not going underground. I don't know where I go. But I do a lot of chakra work. And I think because, even though it's like such a much higher consciousness, I always seem to feel like I go away. That's probably it. I feel as if that's it. My consciousness goes underground. I never really thought about it, but that's what happens. So my consciousness goes underground when I do that, and the Reiki masters take over for me. When I do an angel reading, that is the highest level that I attain. I know you'd assume probably that it is mediumship, but it isn't. Although, I'll explain that in a minute. When I was talking to angels before I could speak, and I wasn't talking, I was just communicating. They talked to me, and I know they spoke because I remember things they said. Now, I can explain that. It wasn't as if I was carrying on a conversation with them, but I remember what they said, and I'm going to explain this the best way I can. We think babies know nothing. We think we were gurgling and doing things like that. We're not. I remember only because my sister was born 2 years younger than I was, and so I remember being 5. She was 3. According to my mother, she spoke nothing that was at all understood by anyone. And she said that only I could translate her. As far as I was concerned, I remember our conversations. I remember funny skits we had. I remember everything. And she spoke words. And to me, they weren't just words. We had entire conversations. And it wasn't baby talk. It was talk. So I know we weren't. I know we spoke. I also know that way, way before I could have, I don't even want to say these things, but way before I could, you know, really have conversations, I thought real thoughts about people in my family. So I know I had real word access. And the angels told me when I was very young, I had very clear moments. I'm not saying I was always conscious of this, because I wasn't. But there were many, many points in time when I remember them coming and saying, your life is going to be hard, and And I remember becoming alarmed, and they said, but you asked for it. You asked for it. Remember, you asked for it. And they said that I was up to the challenge. I remember that because it was a bizarre thing to say. And then they said, we will be with you every step of the way. And I do remember thinking of that my whole life and thinking, you know, where have you been? Where have you been? And like, I kept my bargain. What about you? And then thinking to myself, God, that's horrible, because there's no way I could have survived without them. And I remember a lot of things. But they were always, always the first and foremost things that I have connected to all of my life. And when I became an angel practitioner, of course, I had to, I really, really like honed those abilities and found out just how high that vibration is. And it is, they speak in such high level, gentle, squeaky voices that it's kind of, when you really become attuned, it's very, very high frequency. And this is what I wanted to say about mediumship. And I had blocked it completely. When I first started working as a psychic, people would always ask, can you contact so-and-so? And I would say, no, I'm not a medium. And inside, I would get this weird, weird feeling. Now, my mother was a complete atheist, completely. And I don't know if I should say that. I don't know why, but she was. And my mother and I had this one competition going constantly. I would always say, you're wrong about everything. We do not die. We go here, we go there. And she said, nope, sorry. You die, you get buried, end of story. Why does it have to be something? And I said, because there is. So she told me the whole story of Houdini, which I knew anyway. And the reason she told me was because she had, like, watched this thing about him, and he was the greatest escape artist in the world, and he had this thing with his wife that if anybody could come back from the dead, it was him, and he was going to die, and he, you know, when he did, and he was going to tell his wife this code word, and if there was an afterlife, he was going to come back, give her the code word, and she'd know. So rumor had it that he never came back and told her the code word. So she said, there you go. That, like, that's proof, right? So I said, no, Ma, that's not proof. Anyway, to make a long story short, that's not really true. I saw that thing, and she did get proof. But the whole point of it was my mother was a gifted medium. And she would have, but it would happen to her in the middle of the night. And she had all the classic things, like the room would get cold. And this is way before anybody knew what, you know, happens when mediums, you know, she didn't even believe in this stuff. She would just come in the morning and say, I had it again, I had it again. The room would get cold. She'd have this, like, blue light. And somebody who she knew would come to her and say something and say, hi, I'm on my way. I just wanted to say hello. And then 3 weeks later, because this was before email and any of this, we would find out that that person died around that time. But she didn't believe it. I'd say, how can you deny an afterlife if this is happening? And she'd say, oh, stop it. It's just a dream. So anyway, when I first started doing what I do, my mom had passed on. And, oh my God, I'm going to cry. And I had met someone who was a wonderful medium, and she did a reading, and she described my mother perfectly. And then she said, she's standing here, and I don't know, she just keeps saying, tell her she's right. Tell her she's right. What does she mean? And I just said, I got it. So, before I cry, and I am, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth and love. BBSRadio.com.
Ever thought of becoming a talk show host? Or felt a need to share your knowledge with others? Record your thoughts, your interviews, your guests, and discoveries? In a setting where you can ask questions, any question, of anyone, on any topic? Well, here you can effortlessly interview the most famous and the most infamous. Right at your doorstep. Become a radio host on BBS Radio. On BBS Radio, and join our family. Well then, become a show host on BBS Radio and join our family. Just email contact@bbsradio.com.
Support Hughes Peterson Publishing by visiting thepullmanmessenger.com and purchase an annual subscription. It's just $12 a year. Or purchase an Anthology of Respect by Dr. Lynn Hughes, available on Amazon.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Adina and Growing Up Indigo on BBS Radio. Station one. So let me just finish up. And you know what? I do think my mom just was right here. And that's why that happened. Because honestly, I think about her all the time. And I don't always cry. So let me just finish up with the angel. And just one more thing about the mediumship thing. So when I went to my angel practitioner, and this is what happened. During that course, Charles Virtue said, you know, I'm not a medium, but I know how. He said, I don't call myself a medium, but I can do mediumship. And boy, not only could he do it, he can teach it. So he said, and this is exactly what he did, but I can't do what he did, but yes, I can. So he took us up to the angel realm where we had been the entire course, and he said, come down two levels, go north, go 6 degrees left. I mean, he literally did that, and he said, you are now in the mediumship zone. And I was. And I couldn't believe it. And he said, what's happening? Who's there? And we had partners, and he said, open your eyes and read this person. And I did. Not only did I, but I became that person. I spoke in that person's voice. And they had a French accent, by the way. I became this person, and I allowed it to happen. And the person that I was reading for pushed his seat back like a mile, and he had shock on his face. His face went white, and I observed it happening, and I really should have stopped because I know it was pretty shocking, and I shouldn't have done it. I really shouldn't have. But so that's where they are. They are literally on our density level, but they're still at a higher vibration, and that's the difference. So, I wanted to say something about that, but I'm not really sure I knew what I wanted to say. So mediumship is, it's a little bit easier, not harder, to get to than the angel realm. So this is what I remembered, and I didn't remember until so much later. When I was about 10, and I would go to sleep at night for weeks and weeks and weeks, faces would pop up before I went to bed. And they didn't have bodies. They just had faces. And all of them called my name. All of them. And I was made fun of a lot when I was a kid, a lot, by a lot of people. And I didn't know they were dead. I didn't know who they were or what they were. I was used to angels. And these people, some were sad, some were mad, some were crying, and they were all calling my name, and they didn't have bodies. And they would just pop right up by my face. And I hid, and they wouldn't go away for weeks until finally I begged and I begged, and I said, please, I never want to see them again. Don't ever bring them back. Don't ever bring them back. And hello? That's why I wasn't a medium. And when I had gone to that course, he opened that block for me. So, there you go. And I can't believe that I spoke all this time. So I'm going to try as best as I can to answer B, C, and I'm going to quickly edit her question. This person has been, she's just gone through such a difficult time. And she's been close to death many times, and she used to be very close to her children, and they haven't seen her in a while. She has lost so much, and she's lost her business, her home, and I just want to be able to see if I can give her some guidance and see if I can help her to see what's coming up for her angelically, and I'm going to do that now without further ado. Okay, let me see what we can do for her. And what I'm going to do is connect on a higher frequency for her. And I'm also going to ask her guides to please tell us what she needs to know. And because I know that she needs some physical healing as well, I'm going to ask, while I can't do a Reiki right now, I am going to ask if there's anything we can do or anything I can tell her. Okay. I want to see who's working with her at the moment. I think she's had too much patience, actually. Okay. I don't think she's able to. B, I just want to say one thing. I know that it's incredibly difficult for you to even move. But Archangel Jophiel is here very much with you. And what she's saying is, and this is interesting too, because I want to say on two levels, Ariel, who is the Archangel of all of manifestation, she helps us with everything physical and everything manifesting. And with career and everything having to do with money and health, not in the way Raphael does with healing, but in health, in terms of things that are good for you, she's working with you, and that includes money. And also Japhael, she is here to bring you clarity and beauty in terms of when you're confined, she tries to help you make beauty where you are in the space you're in. She's saying, just please try to get as much fresh air as you can and to get some creative ideas. They're both telling me that you should, if you can, you write at all? They want you to do something about writing because they're telling me that that's going to be something that you're going to be able to do literally in terms of money and career, not very far in the future at all. I also just got Uriel, and she's telling me Uriel is the muse, the teacher, she's the intelligence, and she is also telling me that there's something creative going on for you right now. And, yes. My favorite archangel is Sandalphon. He is the patron of musicians. But I love him because he helps us find the music to our souls. And that's how I view him. He is the person who says, let me help you find what makes your soul sing. And again, I'm leading all the way back. They keep kind of doing the same thing. It's immediate. They're saying that, and I don't know if you've ever done this, if this was a talent, but they keep saying, this is going to be new for you. This is going to be a whole new start. Not that, God, I know, none of this is good. Nothing could have been worse. But they're saying out of this tragedy will come a new wellspring for you of creativity. And that's who's helping. So I'm getting Uriel, Ariel, Japhael, and Sandalphon, although he did not come to say he's working specifically like they are. He came to me and said, tell her. So I am. I want to see. Hold on just a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Specific? Okay. Thank you. What is that? It's a scent. Can you tell me what it is? Hydrangea? Okay. Hold on just a moment, please. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know. If you can do that, and then I will. I don't know. Do you like hydrangeas? Aren't they spring? I think they are. They want you to do something. They want you to prioritize. I'm not sure exactly. They are very, very specific. Japhael is also making this very clear. She also creates space. She likes to clear clutter, and I'm not talking about clutter in your home. I'm talking about your mind. They are saying, break everything down to tiny pieces, minute by minute, the first step. They want you to, again, and now I'm going back. They keep saying, everything about this is for you to share with other people. Everything about this. I don't know, blog and writing. They are telling you to, again, all right. Now I think I'm beginning to understand what this whole week was about. This is you, B. This is you. You were, remember I when you wrote, I wrote you back, and I said, I never forgot you. And it's because I really believe that you are supposed to do something very big. Things, we don't have challenges like this unless we are meant to do something very important, and I think you are. And I think that you're here to inspire and heal a lot of people, and I mean that. I don't say things just to say them. In fact, I think I lean toward the other end. I tend to be pessimistic. I tend to be very grounded. I'm a Capricorn, and, you know, it's true. I can be a little, I don't want to say negative. That's not right. If my husband's listening, don't say a word. I just tend to be, I think, pretty grounded. So I do believe that you're here to do something with writing and communicating. And the first thing you really need to do is don't think of everything in the big picture. I do that too, and it overwhelms. So don't. Just think step one. Write down a sentence. Step two, clear your mind and try to just meditate and think beautiful thoughts, because this is something that you're going to do. You have a sacred connection. And by the way, in terms of your family, I want to say that, and I wrote this status update a while ago. I think in every family, well, not every family, but many, there's always that one person who's here to speak the truth. It never fails that one person sees things that others don't. Everybody seems to go one way in a family, and there's that one person who doesn't, because that one person says, do you not see what's going on? Am I the one who's wrong here? And everybody says, yeah, you're the one who's wrong. We all see you're the one who's wrong. But it's usually not. It's usually that one person who's here to bring out the dysfunction that's lying underneath, and no one wants to see it, so they point the finger and say, you're the black sheep. But it's not that way. And I think that you're the strong one, and don't back out, don't back down. I think you're going to be seen as the one who knew. I also want to tell you that you are healed. What I mean by that is, again, that sounded like I was a minister, and I don't mean it that way. They are saying that, yes, you are already healed, that you haven't gone unanswered. They're saying it's done. You are. And why? Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on just a moment, please. I want to ask something that she's been asking for. Thank you. Okay, and what do you want to say? Mm-hmm. Okay, they said to me that they want you to communicate very clearly what you want. I don't know why. They said that they need you to be assertive as you can be. They said there's going to be a peaceful resolution. They said very soon. I want to know when. I want to know when. Can you tell me? Because I want to tell her. Okay, so it's 8. 8. What? 8. Okay. 8. No, I don't think it's weeks at all. No. Month? Hold on a minute. Can you just, like, please? Thank you. No, I don't think so. What month are we in? I just lost track of where I am. So, oh, yeah. No, it can't. It can't be. Okay. So if we are in the middle of... Okay, hold on just a minute. They're not telling me. So can I ask them this way? If I just ask you yes or no, will you tell me? They did it again. So it's 8 what? Why don't you just... Oh my God, I got the exact same answer 3 times, but I don't know how to... See, I don't know how to translate this at all. I'm getting the exact same answer, and I don't know what it means. Okay, I know what that means. Okay, can you please tell me? I know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand what they mean, and I don't. I usually can get this, and I can't today. Okay, so, You know what, B? I'm going to do this on my own because I got the exact same answer 3 times, and I don't know what they're talking about. So I'm going to try to answer this for you later on, but I do have to tell you something. I think there's a name of someone I'm getting, and it begins with a C, and they're saying that person is going to be integral to this happening. This particular situation healing. I hope you know who that is. I don't want to say the name, but that is going to make a huge difference. So, and oh, that other message that you sent me, I am absolutely going to look at that and write you back about that later. So I want to thank you for writing me. And I do appreciate you writing me that, and I hope I did something to help you. And everyone, please keep writing, keep sending me your email questions, and yes, next week I'm going to go back to answering your questions, and I do have a lot of people that I am lining up for interviews because I've gotten a lot of really wonderful books to read, and I'm going to read 2 of them this week. So thank you for listening, and we love you here at BBS, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye.